once in a while I'll talk to someone that says, I don't go to church because, you know, people in church, they all have issues and problems and this and that. Yeah? So hold on. You're looking for a church without issues, huh?
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick. Have you ever felt like you can't keep your fire for God? Have you ever felt like you really want to serve God, you want to follow through, but for some reason, somebody keeps blowing out the flame in your heart? That's what we're talking about today. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, senior pastor and author. And Pastor Mark, your message to us today is part two called Keep the Fire. And you're talking to us about five marks of people who keep the fire. Can you give us a little preview?
Absolutely. We've been talking on the first half of this message about some of those habits. Let me tell you this. One of the habits that stands out to me out of these five habits is the habit of promoting a culture of overflowing generosity. You know, sometimes we get into this mindset of receiving and not giving. And I think one of the ways that we keep our fire going, if you just sit and receive, if you're one of those people that really hops around from church to church to see what church is going to meet your needs lately, you will continue in a pretty shallow Christianity. It's when you start asking yourself this question, what do I have to give and how am I going to give it, that your fire starts to boil inside of you. The other habit that we're going to talk about is cultivating strong relationships with other believers that attract unbelievers. I think there's something about believers experiencing true community, where they're loving each other, encouraging, laughing together, celebrating together, that causes the world to look on from the outside and say, I want to be a part of that. And it causes us to stay aflame. Walk with God. So if you're isolated right now and you say, no, you know what I do? I just put on Pastor Mark and that fills me up and I listen to that. No. No, I don't want to be a substitute for the church. You need to be a part of a community of believers that you are fellowshipping with regularly, where you know people's name, they know your name, they're holding you accountable. Don't make this radio program a substitute for the Church of the Living God, an intentional community. So find a group of people, start meeting with them and grow.
That's good. That's good. And friends, if you say, I don't know where to start, I don't have a home church, I don't know where to go, we would love to direct you to a New Life near you. There's 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland, three more internationally. Go to newlifechicago.org. You can find a map and find a New Life near you. We're one of the many churches that God has in the Chicagoland area. And we would love to connect with you and to walk together down this road. Let's get into the message now. It's Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Keep the fire.
I've been reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating the Bible for years. Every day I try to get in the Word. I try to open up my Bible. I actually have a Bible app on my phone that is kind of a plan to read through the Bible in a year. So every day I seek to get in the Bible and read about several chapters. I'm going through the entire Bible this year. You could read through the whole Bible if you read about 4 to 5 chapters a day in the Bible. Whatever your plan is, you need to read it and say, God, speak to me, because your word is life and power to me. I want to know it, savor it, taste it. I want to hear from you, devoted to the word. Some of you say, well, I get into the word, Pastor. On Sundays, I come to hear the word. No, it's not enough. I challenge you to read the Bible as much as you eat food. If you just need one meal a week on Sundays, then you could get the Bible one meal a week. If you need food every day, then I challenge you, get into the Word of God, your spiritual bread, every single day as well. Get into the Word. Some people say, Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know. I'm feeling spiritually weak. Yeah, because you're watching Dexter more than you're getting into the Word of God, because you're spending more time on Facebook than you are scanning the Word, because you know all of the great YouTube videos better than you know verses in Scripture, because you know all the, you can get into that and you spend hours on Instagram, but you can't spend 5 minutes in the Word. Let's switch it up a little bit. Let's get into the Word and say, speak to me today, God. I want to hear your voice. I want to know that you're talking to me, God. I want to get into the word every single day. They were devoted to the word. Number two, they were devoted to fellowship. The word there in the Greek is the word koinonia. It has implicit in it the idea of spending time together, strong relationship, association, and connection. Notice they didn't just do fellowship. They were devoted to fellowship. Now, can I be honest with you? The fact that you come to church on Sunday morning doesn't mean that you're in fellowship. It just means that you've attended a service, and for most of the service, you stared at the back of someone's head. If they're like me, you've kind of had a glare off the back of their head a little bit. But you stared at the back of someone's head and you've listened to a talking head in the front, which is good. You can get inspired that way. You can learn that way. But you don't fellowship that way. Fellowship means I know people by name. They know me by name. I know about their life. They've been to my house. I've been to their house. We connect together, talk together, celebrate together, do life together. When they're struggling, I know it. When I'm struggling, they know it. We can call each other up and pray. They see me my good times and my bad times, that I know them by name and I know their life. I know where they live. I have their telephone number. I have their email. We connect together. Listen, they were devoted to fellowship, which means they were consistently practicing and participating, not missing, getting involved, and that was a part of it. Oftentimes what happens in a church of this size, and even smaller churches, is that you can come and hide out in a crowd. We're not like Cheers where everybody knows your name. The crowd is too big, and so I know some of you, you got a strategy. Hello in the back row, I could still see your face. You say, I'm going to sit close to the door so that when service is done, man, I'm up and out of here because I don't want to talk with people. I don't want people to know my business. I don't want anybody to gossip about me. I'm just here to hear the word and worship. No. Bad answer. Because really, you need to be devoted to fellowship. And what does that mean? Listen, if you're a part of this church and have been here 3 months, you should know the name of 6 people at least by name and have their phone number, because if not, you're just attending a worship service, but you're not getting into fellowship. You need to get to know some people. You need to get involved in some people's lives. People need to get to know you as well. You need to break out of your little circle and get into some people's lives. That's why we have small groups, by the way. We have 275 small groups that happen throughout the city of Chicago. 60 of them happen out around this location. And so that a small group is a place where you can go and sit down around a small table with 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people where you can get involved. You can hear them. They get involved in their lives. You do things together. Some of you need to break out of anonymity. And you need to learn someone's name. Turn to the person beside you and say, you need to know someone's name. If the person beside you doesn't know your name, why don't you tell them your name? Go ahead right now. Tell them your name. Hey, I am. Go ahead. I am. They were devoted to fellowship. You're not going to grow in anonymity. You grow in community. You grow in fellowship. Notice that Jesus had 3 years of public ministry on earth, and he devoted the majority of his time, 80% of his time, not to the crowds and to the masses, but he spent 80% of his time in a small group that we've come to know. It was a small men's group. We call it the 12 apostles. But it was a small men's group where they talked, they shared, they opened up, they knew each other, they got to know each other's family, and Jesus invested the majority, the bulk of his time into a small group of men that he got to know very, very closely, and he built the church on a small group, and everybody knew each other's name, and everybody knew each other's business, and they got on each other's nerves. Listen, if you don't know anybody, they're not going to get on your nerves. If you're really involved in this church, someone should have aggravated you already. If you're not close enough for someone to offend you, then you're not close enough. You need to get closer to people so someone can offend you, rub you the wrong way, aggravate you a little bit, encourage you, get involved in your life. You need to know people's faults, and guess what? We all have them. Welcome to the church that's under construction, because there's no perfect people here. Once in a while, I'll talk to someone that says, I don't go to church because, you know, people in church, they all have issues and problems and this and that. Yeah? So hold on. You're looking for a church without issues, huh? Yeah. You're looking for the perfect church. Well, guess what? Don't join it because it won't be perfect anymore. Seriously. There are no perfect people, and so there are no perfect churches. We all have issues, and part of the body of Christ is learning to grow through our multiple issues and our dysfunctions and our brokenness as we follow Jesus Christ together and learn to love one another and encourage one another and push each other forward in our walk and our walk and our spiritual journey with God. So I'm glad that you're a part of this worship service, but I want more of you. I want you to be devoted to Koinonia. I want you to learn six people, the names of six people. I want you to have the number of six people. I know there's some single guys saying, okay, I see a girl over there. I want her number. I want over there a number. No. Come on. Get to know some people. Men, get to know some men around you. Married couples, get to know some married couples. Sisters, get to know some sisters around you. Get involved. Find someone. They were devoted. The Bible says they were devoted to fellowship. So not only does the Word of God say they were devoted to fellowship, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to koinonia, our fellowship. They were devoted to breaking of bread. And then fourthly, they were devoted to prayer. The word breaking of bread there is not sort of a carbs diet. The breaking of bread was another way of saying they had communion together, the Lord's Supper together.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Keep the Fire, which is from Pastor Mark's series called AD, the Book of Acts. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Keep the Fire.
It's another expression for worship. So they would come together around a meal. Something powerful about sharing a meal together, right? A meal makes you look at each other, talk, share something together. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. So they met in homes and they did communion in homes. They broke the bread that symbolizes the body of Christ. They drank the wine that symbolizes the blood of Christ. And they did this often as they remembered, as they worshiped Jesus for what he had done. So they were devoted to this. They did it often, regularly. We do communion once a month together as a church, but we worship every Sunday as a church. Hopefully a Christ-centered worship. Can I just say something about that, by the way? That the singing that we have at the beginning of the service is not fill in the gap time until everybody gets here so we can start the message part. The worship is intended for us to worship God. The singing is not a spectator to look at a concert. The singing is so you engage in worshiping so that your heart will be prepared when we do the word. You've already spent some time in God, softened your heart so you can get the word. I know, especially men, let me talk to you men for a moment here. Some men tell me, well, I'm not into all that singing stuff. I just skip the singing part and I come for the word part because I'm not that all emotional and I'm not a singer. And maybe you're not. So if you're not a singer, hum. But don't tell me that you're just not the singing type or the expressive type, that it's just your personality, because I've had men tell me that. You know, I'm just not like the raising hands type, singing type. That's just not me. I'm just not very expressive. I'm a man. I never did that stuff. So I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, that's interesting, because I thought I saw you at the Bears game. I'm screaming, going like this, because you sure could have fooled me about how expressive you are. I'm just wondering if it's not about how expressive you are, it's about what you're into. If I'm into the Bears, man, I celebrate the Bears. If I'm into Jesus, I celebrate the Son of God, Savior of this world, author of the Word of Life. Man, I don't hold back in my expression and celebration of the Savior of all of humanity. And so they devoted themselves to worship on a regular basis. They devoted themselves to prayer, to the Word of God, to worship. And then it says, lastly, they devoted themselves to prayer. This active habit of praying. I'm talking about how to keep your fire even after baptism. They devoted themselves to prayer. Listen, I don't believe there's been anything significant that's happened in this church that has not been, first of all, bathed in the power of prayer and fasting. In 1995, the Lord led us to spend 40 days of fasting and prayer. So a whole bunch of us in the church skipped meals for 40 days. We drank juice and waters and teas, but did not eat for 40 days so that we could devote ourselves to fasting and prayer. That was really hard, but God really changed the DNA of this church, and we've been setting aside seasons of fasting and prayer ever since. So for the last 20 years, there's been times where we set aside, we'll fast and pray and seek God, because we believe that God changes things when his people pray. Prayer is not simply you giving a list of things that you want from God. Prayer is you coming to God saying, I am not God and you are, but I want to understand your will, change my heart so that I align my life with you, God. I come and I ask you for things. I petition you, but I bless you. I talk to you. I listen to you. I ask that you change my heart. I agree together for people to come to know you. I believe there were people baptized today here because someone prayed for them. I believe there are some of you here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, opening the word, having given your life to Christ because someone prayed you into this church. Someone prayed for your life. Someone believed that you could be changed. Someone asked that God would work in your life. In fact, there's some of you here today that have not been to a Christian church like this in your entire life, and you're wondering, what am I doing here? I believe someone prayed you into this place because they believe that you needed to hear the Word of God and that your heart needed to be open and respond to the power of the Word of God. Some people think that to pray you have to be on your knees in a certain position, your hands like this. But you know, the Bible tells that we are to pray without ceasing. That means to pray continually. I don't know. It'd be hard to go to work if your hands are constantly like this and your eyes closed. Let me just give you a fresh revelation. Do you realize that you could walk, talk, drive, and pray? Hey, you can text and drive, but you can pray and drive. Please don't close your eyes. Don't raise your hands. But you can drive and pray. You can walk and pray. You can walk into work, be in the elevator, and in your mind you have this constant dialogue with God going, Lord, help me today as I go to my work. Man, that coworker is really hard to love. God, give me patience in Jesus' name. As you're driving down the... I have these conversations all the time. I pray in my car all the time. Lord Jesus, I'm praying. Some people I know think I'm talking to myself. So, you know, if you want to throw people off, just pull up your phone like this so they don't think you're crazy. And, you know, you're just talking in your phone. Lord, here I am talking to you today, you know. But you have this constant dialogue with God. This is what it means to walk in communion with God. I'm talking about keeping your heart on fire for God. So when you are into the Word, when you're praying, when you're fellowshipping, when you are breaking bread and worshiping, then what it tells us in verse 43, everyone, because this church was on fire, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. When there's a church with high expectations, the miraculous begins to occur among them. Things start happening that can only be attributed to the supernatural power of God. And it says, and all the believers were together, in other words, united. And everything they had was in common. There was a spirit of generosity and a spirit of sharing that happened because their hearts were on fire. And they sold property and possessions to give to anyone that had need. There was a spirit of sharing, of giving, of transformation, of we are in this together because their hearts were on fire for God. And every day, they continued to meet together, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor with the people. Why? Because they were putting logs on the fire of spiritual passion. And I want you to notice the final phrase in this chapter. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Every day people were coming to Christ. Every day people were saying, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Why were they coming to Christ every day? Because people were sharing their faith every day. People were going to their workplaces and their schools, and they were just talking about Jesus, the most exciting thing in the world. And people were coming to Christ on a regular basis. Every day people were added to their number daily. Those who were being saved. You know, I believe that a church that's full of fire and the passion of God and the Word of God, we should see people come to Christ on a regular basis. We should be seeing people come to Christ every week. About 15 years ago, we would only baptize occasionally when we had enough people that had come to Christ, and then we'd prepare them and we'd do a baptism when we had people. But about 15 years ago, I started reading the Word of God, and I realized that, no, we should expect that people on a regular basis are going to come to Christ. We should expect that people are going to come to Christ regularly. And so if we expect it, we need to prepare for it. So we started doing a baptism once a month, and we would say, the first time we did it, people said, well, do we have anybody to get baptized? I said, I'm expecting people to come to Christ and be ready to follow Jesus and be baptized. I don't know who, but I'm expecting that next month we're going to have people giving their life to Christ. That's my expectation. If we are a church that loves Jesus and on fire, we're going to share our faith. In fact, I told the congregation 15 years ago, I said, the month that we have no one to baptize, we're going to get on our knees before God and we're going to repent for not sharing our faith. We're going to say, God, forgive us that we're not impacting people's lives and sharing our faith. God, we repent as a congregation before you that we have been fruitless in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. In 15 years, I think we've had to do it one time, years ago. I still remember the Sunday we had the baptismal pool filled. And we said, there's no one to baptize today. Let's get on our knees. And we said, God, forgive us, because we should be sharing our faith, having an atmosphere where people come to God, because we are the people of God and we expect God to be working. 50% of the churches in America saw no one baptized last year, not one person. 80% of the churches in America saw at least one person, but it was mainly children, the sons and daughters of those who have come. I determined a long time ago, I don't want to be the rest of the churches in America. I want to be people on fire with zeal for God that live out their faith, that these walls cannot contain what God is doing.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called AD, the Book of Acts. And tonight was the second half of his message called Keep the Fire. Join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue with another message called Take a Bold Stand. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. And on behalf of Pastor Mark and myself, thank you so much for listening. Have a great night, and God bless.